This is a serious makeover for GSA schedules, and in fact, the first one in about 20 years. The federal supply schedules, as they're commonly known as, has really been around almost according to GSA, since 1948. So it's been that long, but a lot of people really don't know much about them until the 1990s when they were part of that whole acquisition reform. And basically what's happening here is GSA is saying, we've just been letting people on. We've had all these what they call on-ramps. Come on, more people, more people, more people. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden they step back and go, whoa, we have too many people. And it's not too many people like we don't want this many because competition's good, but they're looking at all the things they're offering, all the things that they've added over the years, and they've kind of scratched their head and says, okay, well, some things like the one you mentioned, typewriters, I don't think we need to have any new people on the schedule. In fact, some of the old people on the schedule probably aren't even selling typewriters anymore.
Yeah, I'm amazed that people are, actually.
Well, it's interesting because you go into some offices, and I remember this, it's been a while since I've seen this, but everything's computerized, but they have that one typewriter to do envelopes, or the one typewriter to do something where it's just like you have to fill out a form. So people still hold on to that typewriter. Now, I don't know if that happens as much anymore. We don't have one here at our office, obviously. But
yeah, I haven't seen one in years,
actually. But I remember that. So maybe there's still that need, you know, typewriter ribbons. I wouldn't be surprised if someone like Staples or Office Depot, one of those places, sell typewriter ribbons still. But the point is they're doing this analysis, and they're moving to what they call a demand-based model. Basically, where's the demand? And we're going to push the schedules towards that demand.
So it seems like that makes sense overall. But I guess in practice, I mean, you could find whenever you're sort of reducing competition and sort of trying to see what the majority of people want, that you leave off those things that say somebody, one person or a couple people really, really need.
Right.
And can't get.
And GSA has got to balance that because it does cost them money to keep those schedules running. They do in charge what they call an industrial funding fee to help support the schedules, about 0.75% of every dollar, every order that's made against the schedules. But if they, again, let's use the typewriter example, or I think at one point they had glass blowing, someone who blew glass, or coal firing. If one person needs that, and it costs them, you know, a few $100,000 a year to maintain that schedule. The cost benefit analysis is not there. They can get rid of it. The person, if they got to buy the glass blowing skills, they go on the open market and do it in full and open competition. So it's not like that skill or that product would be cut off totally. GSA is just making, if you will, a business decision to say, you know, not. In our business, doesn't make sense in our business to continue to support this area, or in some cases, and it's two full schedules, which they haven't said which ones, and parts of 14 other schedules are going to be what they call closed. Now, they weren't clear about if it means closed completely, or just we're not going to let any new orders on, or new people joining the schedule. We have 100 or 500 contractors, and that's, we're going to cap it there, because their analysis has shown that the sales are down, or non-existent, and they're saying, or there's no more innovation, like typewriters. Keep going back to that one. So I think that's where they're coming from. It's not, they haven't been clear yet in terms of if they're just going to shut the lights off of everything.
Now, the General Services Administration is cleaning house in a way. It's going to sort of clean up its schedules and get rid of some of the outdated technology on them, things like typewriters, move to a more demand-based model. Jason Miller, our executive editor, has been following GSA and contracting in the federal market for a long time. Jason, tell me what this means in terms of what the industry is saying.
So I think there's a couple things that are standing out here. The industry is actually, there's a fair amount of concern just because it's new. And obviously anything new is scary. But I think that they're saying, well, a lot of times schedules are used beyond, you know, what they appear to be used for, which is for the government. So Larry Allen, who's a regular guest on the Francis Rose In-Depth show and has used to work at the Coalition for Government Procurement, now has his own business, he testified yesterday. And one of the things he talked about was a lot of states.
Testified before whom?
Congress yesterday, the House Small Business Committee.
Got it.
A lot of states require small businesses or businesses to get a GSA schedule as kind of a way to pre-evaluate them so then they can get on the schedule or get on the contracts within those states. So a company in Texas or California, which is the two big examples that came out yesterday, they may get on the GSA schedule but never bid on anything in the government just so they could do work within their own state. And Larry Allen points out that this could really have a detrimental effect on these small businesses, because if GSA just says, well, you haven't done business in 5 years, boom, you're off, that could really hurt them. Now, GSA's point is the other piece of it, which is, well, you know, for the schedules, and they say in some instances 60% of contract holders on the schedules, not all of them, but some of the lesser used ones, don't do any business or very low business at all. And they're saying this costs us upwards of $20 million a year to manage and maintain the schedules. And they feel like we don't have that money anymore. And we can put that money to better use, to do better things, better training of acquisition people, better supportive agencies. So they're in kind of it could create a bad situation for small businesses.
Yeah, it sounds like then industry needs another way to sort of verify themselves or state that they can do business with the government and do it well.
Well, the schedules was put out there as this, you know, hey, the federal government says you're okay. And states said, well, that's an easy way for us then to vet some of our people instead of asking the small businesses or large businesses to go through another vetting process. And in fact, the schedules are open to state and local governments as well. So they like that fact as well. Not all of them, but Schedule 70 for IT, some other ones. There's a lot of complexity to this. Even on the surface, it seems like, as you point out, well, typewriters, no one buys typewriters. Why are they even selling typewriters anymore? Well, but that typewriter manufacturer or that seller could also sell other things that are related. And if they get kicked off the GSA schedule, what happens to them in Texas, California, other places?
Well, would they be kicked off just for selling typewriters? I mean, is it the thing that's being kicked off?
Well,
or, you know, if they're selling copiers, I suppose they could continue, right?
Correct. But it's the thing that is being kicked off. The GSA is doing the analysis saying, okay, what products there's no demand for, or there's no innovation left in. And I think you're right. Typewriters is a perfect example. But there's other things, too, that, you know, GSA is saying, we've done, you know, $50 worth of business in the last 2 years on this, or we've done, you know, $50,000. And that's just not enough. That's not enough to keep it going when they look at the market and where it's going, what other agencies' needs are. And the fact is they're getting pressure from agencies for other things. Why don't you have this on the schedule? Why can't I combine this product with this service so I don't have to buy two separate orders? So GSA gets a pressure. One last statistic I'm going to give you, because I think this is a key statistic. There are 19,000 schedule holders, but in the last couple years, the number of people applying to be on the schedule has roughly doubled, and the number of contract modifications, meaning people who want to change their contract, usually adding more products or services, the number of modifications has tripled in the last several years. So there's this big influx of push to the schedules, and GSA is going, oh, we don't have the money for this.
They don't have the manpower either.
The manpower
is
another big issue. Yeah.